Christian. Today's a special day, October 30th. I won't say how many years ago, but there was a lady born on this day that just happens to be my wife. So happy birthday. And of course, Debbie, my little sister, she used to come up while I was at work and play my records. And I always knew. And she said, "How do you know?" I said, "We just know stuff like that." And I said, "Why'd you always want my stuff?" She said, "Because you were my big brother and you had cool stuff." So, praise God. A lot of memories. Memories growing up, praise God. And they're all good memories. Amen. Family memories. And we have a good heritage. Back in 1939, my mother was a little Amish girl. And what you call old order Amish, you know, horse and buggy type. And they got invited, her and her sister and two brothers got invited to a revival at Assembly of God Church. And little did they know how God was going to touch them. And I remember my mother said they brought her home. She was slain under the power. And they laid her in the back seat of the car, speaking in tongues. Little Amish girl. And came home, and of course my grandfather was, had the Amish beard and everything, and he thought she was possessed. Well, she was with the Holy Ghost. But he saw the change in them. He saw how God changed their life, and he got so curious he had to find out what they had. And then he got a good dose of it too. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. It's a great heritage. There's a lot of ministers in our family. I've got an Uncle Pete. Christian, you're my favorite nephew. And it's kind of neat. There were some years ago, I was preaching up in New Hampshire, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, at my uncle's church. Now, he's retired now. He's way up in his 80s. But I remember after the service, we were in the car, and he looks at me and says, "You know you're my favorite nephew, don't you?" Praise God. So I had to tell Christian that, because he is. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's good to be with y'all tonight, and it's a pleasure to be here. This is our last place we're ministering, and then we're going to head home. We've been on the road since 1st of September. Of course, we started earlier than that. We just will maybe take off a couple weeks and go out again. But God has been good for the last 30 years. We've been traveling, holding revivals around the country. And the Lord told me we're about to see a shift in our ministry. And I believe in a lot of people's ministry, we're going through a shift right now. And it's kind of like when I was in the Army years and years ago, they would send promotions down, and if you qualified, you'd get one. And I believe that's what God is doing right now in the body of Christ. He is sending down promotions. And if you're qualified, if you've been faithful, you're going to get one. And if you don't feel qualified, repent. Amen. And ask God to give you some favor. He'll do it. Amen. He's good about that. He knows how to play catch up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, "I wish I'd lived in Bible prophecy times." Well, guess what? You are. Amen. One of the greatest times ever we're in right now. My wife didn't bring it, but on our table we have a book. How many have heard of Jonathan Cahn? Oh, look at that. How many saw his new book out called The Oracle? Oh, let me tell you, there's one of the most prophetic books I've ever read in my life. I'll just tell it real quick. We have a few on our table if you want to get one, but he goes back. You know, the Jews had what was called every 50 years a jubilee. And on that jubilee, if you had lost land, property, whatever, you got it back. Now, that's a good deal, isn't it? Well, that was God's, you know, he put that in the law of Moses. But there have been jubilees ever since God established that. And he goes back and from 1867 till 2017. These are the years of the Jubilee. And there was a scripture fulfilled in 1867 by an American author. And he fulfilled it. Was in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses prophesied about what would happen to Israel if they got away from God's laws and commandments, that the land would become desolate and that grass wouldn't even grow. So in 1867, there was a man that took a steamboat to Israel and wrote a book about it. And it became a bestseller. And in that book, he talked about how there wasn't even a blade of grass growing. He fulfilled that prophecy. That was a Jubilee year. That was also a year when some Jews got together and said, we need to pray that God will give us our homeland again. God began to move then. Well, guess who that author was? His name was Samuel Clemens or Mark Twain. God used him to fulfill Bible prophecy. Well, I won't go into detail because, you know, the book, it's got all of it. God downloaded this to Jonathan Cahn, and it would be worth your time. If you don't get it from us, get it off Amazon or whatever. But it's a truly amazing book. It lets you see how God worked behind the scenes. You know, there's two kingdoms on this earth. One is Satan's and one's God's. Amen? And sometimes we become more aware of what the devil's doing, but I'm going to tell you, God's still doing stuff. Amen? We don't always recognize it until sometimes after he's done it. But you look back and you see what he's done. It's truly amazing. If you have your Bible tonight, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I asked my wife, I said, honey, I've got so many things I want to share because we're just doing it one-nighter. And I said, what do I preach on? She said, you need to preach on the heart. And this started out of, and I've been in ministry 40 some years. And anyway, over the years, I've noticed a lot of times Christians pray and believe God and then nothing happens. Of course, that's never happened to you, right? And I said, God, why is it sometimes, and even for myself, there have been times where I could pray and it's like that. You know, I pray for my wife, and she gets healed, you know, almost every time I pray for her. And I could tell you something. My wife had a heart attack. What was that? How many years ago, honey? 2007. That's 12 years ago. And God healed her instantly when I prayed for her. I mean, she was having a full-blown heart attack. And God told me to fast. And I didn't know why. He just said, you got to fast and pray. So I started fasting and praying. And boy, I found out why, because my wife had a heart attack. And I needed to be ready to pray for her when she had that heart attack. And God healed. I watched God heal her right in front of my eyes. And I can tell you other times, you know, that God has come through like that. And he's always come through. But then there have been times where, like for myself, maybe I'd be praying about something for physical healing for myself and just not see it happen. It just go on and on. I said, God, what's going on? And I said, Lord, what's the problem? Why is it sometimes some Christians have a hard time to believe you? And he said, it's a heart problem. Amen. And he said, you have to guard your heart. Now, this is what this verse says, and I'm going to talk about this tonight, how to guard your heart and how to change things in it. Notice verse number 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. How many now notice that Jesus many times would say, whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear. Amen. Amen. Are you interested? Do you have an ear? Do not let them depart from your eyes. That deals with your thought life. Keep the word of God in your thoughts, in your imagination. And keep them in the midst of your heart. What is your heart? And I'm talking about the physical heart, of course. But if you do the comparison, your physical heart determines the health of your whole body, because it's pumping life, which the life is in the blood, to the rest of your body. Amen? So your heart is the distributor. It is where the life flows from. And in the spirit realm, it's the same way. Your heart is the center of who you are, your emotions, your thought life, everything. What you think about life, the things that have accumulated in your life, the happenings in your life, all the things you've gone through, words that have been spoken to you that you received, eventually get into your heart and become a force. That force, your heart, how many knows what a default is? You know, you have that on your computer, your phone. That means your phone will always, or your computer, always go back to the default program. And what happens is things get programmed into your heart. And once they get in there, they become a force that controls you. That's why you can make New Year's resolutions, and most of the time you don't break them because your default kicks in. You just can't give up those donuts. Huh? I love donuts. And I'm the kind of person, I either have to go cold turkey, you know, I'll say, no more sugar. I won't eat sugar for 6 months. And I say, I've been a good boy. I'm going to go get me a chocolate donut. I don't get one, I get two. And I won't go any more than that. But sometimes it's like none are, you know. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So pray for me. He says, keep the word in the midst of your heart, for they, God's word, is life to those who find them and health through all their flesh. How many believe God's word to heal you? Oh, I know it will. Amen. Hallelujah. Then he says, keep your heart with all diligence. Guard it. Watch over it. For out of it spring the issues. And another translation said, the forces of life. Now, just explaining some of these forces to help you understand. How many know joy and gladness and laughter is a force?
Yeah.
Isn't it a good one?
Yeah.
Do you know doctors have discovered what the Bible already told us, that laughter can heal you?
Amen.
Amen. They say people that laugh, you cause your body's healing agents to function better. They begin to be released. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says laughter does good like a medicine.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's why my wife married me. She likes to laugh. Hallelujah. Now, how many know some of the other? Well, let me tell you. One of the forces that I really like is the force of faith.
Yeah.
And God's word will create the force of faith in your heart. And I know what that is. I remember so many times in my life where I would just get into the word of God and I would just start meditating on it. And I start speaking it over the situation or into my life. And I would notice that there was this inward confidence that would begin to come up out of deep within me. And it was just a positive thing that I knew everything's going to be all right because I've got God's word. But it wasn't up here. It was in here, my spirit man, it down in the depth of me. And faith is a positive force that's created in your heart when the word of God gets in there. And a lot of times we don't know how to get the word of God in us. Think about that. How do you get the word of God in your heart? First of all, you have to see how important it is.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to have a love for it. Amen? And in fact, I want to show you how to do that tonight. Let me say this first of all. I remember years ago, Brother Oral Roberts did a, how many remember Brother Oral Roberts had the great healing ministry? He had a tent, he did a tent revival in the Dallas area that lasted 2 weeks. And in that tent revival, he prayed for thousands of people. And many people were healed. But anyway, there was a church there that asked if they could have the cards of all the people that were prayed for, because they had filled out cards who they were and what kind of church they went to, or if they didn't go to church. And then they sent a letter to all these people and asked them if Brother Roberts prayed for them, were they healed, and if they were still healed. This was like 6 months later. 80% of the people that were either no faith or religion at all, or of a religion that didn't necessarily believe in healing, you know, like maybe Presbyterian, Catholic, or something like that, they got healed and were still healed. Less than 10% of those who claim to be Pentecostal said they got anything. I remember one, there was a pastor, he told Kenneth Hagin, he said, I sent 3 busloads of people to that healing crusade and not one of them got healed. Now you say, Brother Ford, that doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does. Because I asked the Lord, I said, God, please explain to me why. And he said, it's real simple. He said, hard heart. Because when you know God is a healer, and then you pray and you don't see it, then you either dig in more and seek God more to find out what needs to change, or you become hard-hearted. There's no middle ground. You go one way or the other. And what happens many times, we've all prayed for somebody that died on us. Come on, amen? That's a hard thing to take, especially a loved one. That you pray and you pray. You just understand, God, we prayed. Why didn't they get healed? Well, some of those questions we can't answer. Only God can. But you cannot allow your heart to base its faith on the experiences that you see that you don't see an answer to. You cannot judge God by those things. Let me tell you something. God never changes. He's always the same. He was a healer back when Jesus walked the earth, and he's still a healer today.
Amen.
Amen. If there's a problem, it's not on his end. It's not, he doesn't have the wheel of fortune up there spinning and say, well, who gets healed today? It's not how it works. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And this is why he says you've got to guard your heart. In one area, you know, I pastored for 13 years, and I'm going to tell you what, Christian people can fuss and fight just like heathens. Amen. Because they're just not real sanctified yet. Okay, I know none of y'all like that, right? And here's one of the problems. Let me tell you, you want your heart to get hard, hold a grudge against somebody. Refuse to forgive somebody. And see, Jesus constantly warned us, you've got to walk in love. You've got to forgive people. If you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. And see, all these things, Satan knows this, and he's always trying to get you to break that law of love. Because, you know, we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments, but you keep them when you walk in love. Love fulfills the law. If I love you, I won't talk ugly about you. If I love you, I won't mistreat you. Amen? And I want God to forgive me, so I'm willing to forgive you. Because my heart means more to me. Having my heart where I can believe God means more to me than seeing retribution on somebody that did me wrong. Amen? Amen. You know, just driving a car will test your love walk. Amen? I mean, you get tested every time you get in it, right? I know some of you wish you had proton torpedoes in it. I got them locked in. Anyway, praise God. Walk in love. That's the key. Amen. Now, let's go to another scripture. And look at, we're going to jump down here. I've gave these guys some scriptures, but we'll go down to Mark chapter 4. Jesus had just gave the parable on the sower sowing the word, which represents somebody like me preaching the word and you're hearing it. Now, they didn't understand it. Now, you're going to read the Bible at times, you're not going to understand it. We know that's true. Amen? Amen? So what do you do? Here's what he says. Verse 9, he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, listen to this, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they will see and not perceive, hearing they will hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. Now, if you don't understand what Jesus is saying, you might think he's purposely trying to hide the truth from people, but he wasn't. Why did he turn to his disciples and these that came to him later and said, Lord, tell us what this means? He said, well, to you it's been given to know. Because the others walked away and didn't care. They were seekers. Man, I want to know what that means. Jesus, you got to tell us what this means. This was awesome, but we don't understand it. And I've learned, if you have that kind of heart towards God, he'll reveal himself to you. If you're just a passerby, you won't know. You have to have a heart to want to know him. You have to have a hunger. In every one of us, God put a desire to know him. I don't care who you are. I saw where even atheists have churches now. I thought, what are you celebrating? Anyway, because they have a need for fellowship. God put that in them. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, same chapter. Let's look at another verse. Let's look at verse number 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear, for with the same measure you use, and this is what he's saying, if you will act upon what you hear, it will be measured to you, and to you that hear, more will be given. This is what he's saying. If you hear and receive what I say to you, and you hold on to it, you act on it, then you're going to get more. Amen. Let me tell you, I have found this to be a spiritual law that I guarantee it works. If you will operate on the level of faith that you have, God doesn't expect you to operate on my level or anybody else's, your level. If you will operate on that level, God will always come through for you. Amen. And if you will operate on that level, he'll even take you to another level because you were faithful with that, what he gave you. Amen? To more will be given to him that hath. But if you don't recognize it, you're going to lose what you have. If it's not important to you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of the times I've grown the most were in the times my faith was tested the most. How many times have you done your best? You know, it's called foxhole praying. They say there's no sinners in a foxhole when there's bombs falling all around you. And the tough times that I've been through in life, and you don't have enough time for me to tell you even a few of them because you've had them too, amen? Those are the times I've done some of my best praying because it was a time I knew I needed God. And if I didn't get him, it was over. Amen. I'll just give you one. Years ago, I was working as an electrician, and I was sent to a gas station to fix one of the pumps, and it was down in a manhole cover. And I'd pulled the manhole cover off, and I was bending over trying to get a cap off and change a capacitor and whatever. And next thing I knew, I looked up, and a car was a foot away from me. And it was a 66 Mustang, and they're kind of low to the ground, you know. And it hit me on the head and knocked me down and drove up on top of me and was pushing me down on the asphalt there at that service station. And they say your life flashes before you. That is true. My whole life up until that time, I was maybe 26 years old, flashed in front of me. And I knew this is it, I'm going to die. But in my heart, I cried out to God. That car stopped just like that. It took me a few seconds to crawl out from under the car. I had to try to grab parts of the car to pull myself out. And it had cut my head wide open and pushed my scalp back down on top of my ear. And back then, I had a full head of hair, believe it or not. But God intervened just like that. And there's been several times that I've faced death But God intervened. God had a plan for my life. Amen. He's got one for you too. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. And see, at that time, I wasn't operating in a whole lot of faith. The only faith I had was help. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you, that's faith. Praise God. Even if you cry out for help, praise God. Now, he goes on in verse 25. He says, whoever has to him will more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now, drop down to verse 30. This is one of my favorite scriptures on the kingdom of God. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? In other words, I want to give you something you can see and understand. It is like a mustard seed. Now, if you've ever seen a mustard seed, they're a real tiny little round seed. You ever seen one? Real tiny. And he used this. He said, though it is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the other herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may come under its shade. Now, what was he saying? The word of God he was comparing to a seed. And the soil he was comparing to your heart. And we know you plant seeds in soil. Amen? Now, how many knows you can't plant seeds on concrete? That's a hard heart. Mm. Or like in Arkansas, you have to get the rocks out of the ground before you can grow anything. Amen. They should have called it Locks of Rocks City or State. Instead of Little Rock, it's Locks of Rocks. Anyway. I never knew that till I moved up there. But anyway, long story short. Jesus said, my word is like a seed. Now, here's what he's saying. God's thoughts, that's what his word is. His thoughts, the way he thinks, the way he looks at things. And he expressed it in his word, okay? Now, he's saying that the seed of God's word seems smaller than all your problems, all the other things that maybe already be in your heart. Because when you hear the word of God, you're trying to believe God. It's like, what's going on? I believe God. Why am I struggling? Why? Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you go to believe God, you have just as much unbelief working against you? Amen? That stuff that's already in your heart, you didn't know was there. It's kind of like when you go to plant a garden. How many knows you got to get the weeds out? Hmm? How many know if you got rocks in the soil, you got to get that out too? And this is what Jesus is saying. Your heart is the soil, and when the word of God is sown in it, if you get it, get the heart cleaned up, it'll produce something. And it may seem smaller than everything else. It may seem smaller than your problems, smaller than the doubt and unbelief in your heart. And you think, God, what chance? How can I ever believe for this miracle? But he said, when it is sown, it will grow up and become greater, greater than all those other things that are holding you back. That's his promise. God's word is more powerful than all the negative stuff that's been sown in your heart up until now. That's what he's saying. That's his promise to you and me. So let me tell you something. If you will get a hold of God's word and realize that's your salvation right there. The word of God. Listen, the Bible says God created everything by his word. Amen. Everything. Not some years ago, I went through a really hard trial. And I was fasting and praying and every day. I canceled meetings so I could stay home and pray. And I would pray so long on my knees that I couldn't even get up and walk. My legs were just too weak. And I realized I needed to start walking, so I started walking and praying. And I remember I was walking up and down the driveway, praying. I got a really long driveway. And back and forth, praying. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me real clear, and he said, son, quit fighting the devil. What? I already beat him. But Lord, he's trying to kill me. What do I do? He says, I told you I already defeated him. And God, and I'll finish that part, but God since then began to show me, he said, one of the reasons my children are so frustrated and their hearts become hard is because they are struggling trying to get me to do something I already said I'd done. How many times does the Bible say he has delivered us from the power of darkness? He has delivered us from the curse. By his stripes you were healed. And we, oh God, heal me. Oh God, heal me. He said, I have. But God, I'm still in pain. You're looking at the natural. Look at the word. Get your eyes on the word. Keep it before your eyes. But God, that's hard. I know it's hard, but I'm going to clean you up. Huh? He's already delivered you. And I said, well, God, what do I do? He said, act like somebody that's delivered. So I just lifted my little faithful hands and I began to praise God and say, Lord, I want to thank you for delivering me. I want to thank you for healing my body. As I did, I know what wait on the Lord means now, because as I began to do that, all of a sudden, I was closing and opening my eyes as I walk, you know, a little bit. I'd close my eyes and I'd open again, make sure I didn't wander off into the woods. And while I had my eyes closed, I knew I was going up into the air. I could feel myself going up into the air. And I said, I'm going to open my eyes and look down and see the treetops. Of course, when I opened my eyes, I was still on the ground. And I said, God, I feel like I'm somewhere flying. I mean, I felt my spirit just began to rise up. And the Lord says, I gave you wings like an eagle. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I felt myself going above in the spirit realm, going above all that attack of the enemy that had come against me. I went above it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because I began to celebrate what he had already done for me and quit trying to get him to do what he said he'd already done. Woo. You get a hold of that and start meditating on that, it'll set you free. Because, you know, we can, let me tell you a little testimony. There was a Dr. Yeoman. She was a healing minister. She was also a doctor before she became a minister. And she was dying of this terrible disease. And then God healed her. And anyway, she had a friend over in China. This was back before Mao Zedong took over and they had communism come in. But she was a missionary in China and preaching the gospel, and she came down with, I don't know if it was diphtheria or something like that, where it was contagious, whatever it was. They had to quarantine her. And they put her in a hospital room, and she was praying, believing God to heal her body. And, well, days went by, and she didn't get any better. She got worse. And she's saying, thinking, God, what's going on? And this is what we all need to do. If you don't see your faith working, ask for wisdom. And mercy. Amen. Say, God, I need you to help me. There's something I need to know here. Give me the missing piece. Amen. And he will. Amen. And he said, you're doing good, but you got a problem. He gave her a vision. And in the vision, he saw the scales of justice. And on one side, it said prayer. And it was all the way down. The other side said praise. But there was hardly anything in it. And he said, when your praise and thanksgiving equals your prayer, it will come. Yeah. In other words, when you see, if you believe, Jesus said, when you pray, believe you receive. Yes. Most of us wait to believe when we see it. But the word says, I have it. I believe. So how do you act? You act like the person on Publishers Clearing House that just received $1 million. Woo! And they're not afraid to let them put their picture of them acting crazy on TV. I don't care what you think. I got $1 million. I'm a millionaire. Amen. And we need to be the same way with our faith. You see, there's a circle of faith. God showed me this. He said, you pray, you believe. But then he said, faith without works is dead. Act like you believe you receive it.
That's good.
Start thanking God after you pray. And stay in the Word. You know, there are some scriptures I've probably confessed so many times. You know, it's not possible to wear it out, but if I could, I would have. And especially one says, His word is life to me and health to all my flesh.
Yeah.
And I just kept doing it over and over. Thank you, Lord, your word is life to me and health to all my flesh. I thank you, Lord, you're my healer. It says, by His stripes I was healed. So, Lord, I just praise you and I dance around my trailer and I thank God. I thank you, Lord, I'm healed. I thank you, Lord, I believe it's done. And you know what begins to happen over a period of time? And I don't have very many suddenlies. I'm the sower sowing the word and watching it grow. But it's a gradual thing. But God told me, He said, son, that's the best way. Because when you get it that way, you become established in it. Amen. And once you're established in it, that becomes your default.
Yeah.
Satan comes at you. Oh, no. No, I don't accept that. That didn't come from my Father.
That's right.
And your shield of faith is there.
Yeah.
Because you become established in that truth. And I've learned. In fact, let me show you what Jesus says about this. Let's go to Matthew. Chapter 15. You know, the scribes and Pharisees were so religious and so concerned about keeping all these little things like washing their hands and stuff. And that's good, you know. But they were missing God. Here Jesus is doing miracles and they're fussing because He raised a crippled man up on the Sabbath day. I'm sure the crippled man didn't care. Can you imagine? Here's a miracle and they're saying, but you did it on the Sabbath day. Shame on you. Well, let me see you do it on any other day. You know, it's like, anyway. So they fussed at his disciples because they ate with unwashed hands, which is pretty hard to do if you're in a cornfield. Right? Okay. So he gets down. Well, let's just start with verse number 17. He says, do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, that's your words, come from the heart, and they defile the man. You ever think of your words as defiling you? Not only the words you speak, but words you hear. Take heed what you hear, what you say. For out of the heart, listen to this, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile him. Now, I want you to look at this. How many of you know? For instance, guys, I'm going to pick on you. Pretty girl walks by. You look at her, pretty girl, a thought. You're okay so far. But what happens when you begin to use your imagination and imagine yourself with that person in things that you shouldn't? It went from a thought to an imagination. Thoughts do not enter your heart until they become an imagination. Now, Jesus is saying your words, your imagination, your thoughts. Think of your mind as the gatekeeper of your heart. That's why Paul said you've got to cast down every thought that's contrary to God. All of them. Or if they go beyond that and you begin to meditate on them and imagine it, it starts getting into your heart and it becomes a force. And Satan knows that. And I'm going to tell you something. Our generation is exposed to more than any other generation. Because when your little phone, you can hold the world in the palm of your hand. Like, remember the song? He's got the whole world in his hand.
Yeah.
Your iPhone.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Now we use the term, just Google it.
Right?
Ask Siri. She scares me. I don't like my phone talking to me. But see, Satan knows that if he can defile a person's heart, it makes them hard-hearted towards God. Are you listening to me? And he's trying to defile this generation of young people. Amen. But God's got other plans for him. God knows how to give you a clean heart. That's what the blood of Jesus is for. Because you can't clean your heart up yourself. And as a believer, God will help you. Now see, here's what happens to a lot of Christians. You get saved, God gives you a clean heart, but you didn't know how to guard your heart. And Satan's just working on you, trying to get things back in your life. Amen. But this is what I've learned. If you reverse the process, if words defile me and the wrong thoughts defile me, then what if I get the right words and the right thoughts?
Yeah,
then I can change what's in my heart. Amen. And if you stay with it, God will see you through. Oh, hallelujah. Because years ago, the Lord said, I want you to have a pure heart because the pure in heart will see God. Amen. Matthew 5:8. Jesus was teaching that in the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to see God, if you want to know Him, hallelujah. And I'm not talking about dreams and visions and stuff like that. You're not going to know God that way. He can reveal things to you, but I'm convinced the only way to really know God is through His Word. I'm totally convinced of that. Because the very character and nature of God is in His Word. And when you hunger for Him, I never forget the first time I ever preached in my life. I was a Sunday school teacher of the young adults. And I remember the pastor used to come up and sit in the back of the class. And I thought, somebody told on me or something. One Sunday after the class was over, he came up to me and said, I'm going on vacation in 2 weeks. I want you to fill in for me. Preach Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I said, me? I don't know how to preach. He said, yeah, you do. I've listened to you. I'm just teaching. He said, no, you're a preacher. Okay. Boy, I was so scared. I fasted all week. Just trying to be spiritual, you know. And I got up and preached, you know. I preached about 30 minutes, you know. And then we dismissed, and I was so disappointed. Were you there, Deb? Do you remember that? And I told my wife, we didn't have any kids then, did we? And I said, you go home. I'm going to stay at the church, and I got to pray through. So I remember I knelt between the pews, and I'm praying, got my Bible open. I said, God, am I really called to preach? I don't know you very well. That's sad. I was raised in church all my life and still didn't know him. It tells you what religion will do for you. I said, how can I know you? And I'm sincere, I'm praying this. And I heard the voice of God speak in my heart. He said, you will know me through my word. Amen. And ever since then, I've loved the word of God. Amen. Because that's who he is. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. Can't separate him. And this is what he's trying to tell us here. Your words that were not of him, the bad words defiled you, but his word will heal you.
Yes.
Amen. So you get his word in your thoughts, and you get his word in your mouth, and you start speaking it and meditating on it. Oh, glory to God. One fellow said, I don't believe in that meditation. I said, yeah, you do. He said, oh, no, that's what them weird people do. I said, you're already meditating right now. You just don't realize it. He said, no, I don't meditate. I said, yes, you do. I said, when you got this morning, did you think about what you're going to eat? Well, yeah. That's meditating. No, it's not. Yes, it is. You use your mind to imagine what you're going to eat. Huh? Yeah. You're already doing it. You don't even realize it. So I just take the Bible and sit down, and I'll take a word in Scripture, and I'll just think about it and roll it over in my mind. That's God. That's His Word. That's my Father God. And I meditate on it. You know what happens? The Holy Spirit will start taking it and teaching me and show me what it means, because I'm appreciating that Word, and to him that has shall more be given. Amen. And then I start speaking it over my life. Amen. I start speaking it over my life. You need to make confessions of God's Word over your life every day. Amen. And if you say, well, Brother Ford, I forget, that's what the Holy Spirit's for, to help you remember. The Lord told me to write a book of remembrance. Amen. I don't have a photographic memory, do you? Some people do. Just look at my grades in high school, you know that wasn't what I had. But the Lord said, I want you to get a book, and I want you to write, when I give you a scripture that I really emphasize to you, I want you to write it in there. I said, okay. And you know what? One of the first ones I wrote in there? You ready for this? With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Joy. And the Lord said, son, I'm in you like a well. And he says, when you have joy and rejoice before me, you're pulling up from that well that's in you. Amen. And then the next one was, rejoice in the Lord always. How often?
Always.
Why aren't you rejoicing?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, amen.
Amen.
Always is always, right?
Yeah.
Amen. So joy is such a strength. I'm going to get off my subject here. That's okay. James said, count it all joy when you fall into a trial. I said, God, are you kidding? I've never known anybody to come to me and say, Brother Ford, I want you to rejoice with me. I'm going through the hardest time of my life. Let's have a party. No, it's usually, pray for me. Yeah. I said, God, how can we do that? He said, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want you to be strong.
Yeah.
But God, I don't feel like it. He said, do it anyway. Because your spirit man on the inside already has a victory. You just got to tell your head. You got to get it here. And it's kind of like this. The Bible says, can two walk together if they don't agree? Huh? I mean, sometimes you have to agree to disagree. Well, how many know you're not just a spirit? Spirit, soul, and body. You got to get, now your soul is where your mind is. You got to get your spirit to agree, or I should say your mind to agree with your spirit.
Yes.
So what about the flesh? Oh, you kill him. Bible says, reckon him dead. Shut up, flesh, you're dead. You're not running the show here. Amen. And when those two come together and agree, that's when your heart, the force of faith, will come.
Yeah, that's good.
That's why you got to meditate in the Word. You got to keep speaking it over your life. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's wrap this up. Go to Romans chapter 8. A couple years ago, when we came back from traveling, I'd go over to the trailer and pray. Just made a really nice prayer place for me. And I never forget, I was sitting on the couch of the trailer meditating in the Word of God. And the Lord spoke to me so clear. And he said, son, the key to you walking with me, the key to your transformation is your mind. Whew. And of course, Scripture started coming to you, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I knew that. And God began to, from that day, he began to show me the importance. He said, I want to show you how to purify your heart. I want to show you how to bring your life into line with me. Now, I remember some years ago, I had a book on Smith Wigglesworth. And how many know who he is? Great man of God. Of course, he passed away. He's gone. But boy, I wish they'd had movies and stuff back in his day. They could have filmed the miracles he saw. That would have been so awesome. But most of the miracles were recorded by news reporters that would go to his meetings. And some of the books that were written by the sermons. The reporters were writing notes. And they got those notes and made books out of it. But anyway, the Lord told me, he said, as you read this book, I'm going to show you the secret to his power. I said, okay. So I start reading this book, and all of a sudden I realize, man, you talked about a strict guy. When Lester Sumrall came to his house, and he was a young man then, Lester was, but Smith wasn't, and he came to his house, knocked on his door, he had a newspaper under his arm. And Smith looked at him and said, you can come in, but that newspaper stays out there. I don't want the devil's stuff in here or devil's lies in my house. So he stuck it in the bush. You know, he never went to school. So he learned to read. His wife taught him how to read the Bible. So the only book he ever read in his whole life was the Bible. One book. And that's all he ever did. And this man walked with God. This man had so many miracles in his life. I carry a letter that he wrote to a preacher in my Bible. Amen. It was short, but it was to the point. Now, this is what God showed me. I saw how he kept his mind on God all the time. That's all he would do is read the Bible. He stayed in that place. A fellow, he kept his mind on God. Now, I want to read some scriptures here that will explain that. In beginning in verse 2 of Romans 8, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. You know what he's saying? The life that God put in your spirit is greater than that desire in your flesh to sin. Amen. For what the law could not do because it was weak through the flesh, boy, isn't that the truth? God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And on the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That's in his death when he died for us. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, that's the old nature, but according to the Spirit, that's the new nature he gave us. Now, how do we do that? Now, you as a believer, you know that, yes, you got Jesus living inside of you. You've got his love in there. You've got his nature. But how many of you realize you still got some old nature in another part of you? If you don't believe it, ask your closest friend. They'll tell you. Amen? Why? Because it's like two natures struggling there. Amen? Here you get a new body, you're going to have to deal with lust and stuff like that. But he's saying, what I put in you is greater than that. You can overcome it. Amen? You still have trials in this life. When you become a Christian, I'm not saying it's going to get easier. It's going to get better. Big difference. Praise God. Now you got God's power in you. Now he's going to tell us how to walk after the nature of God that's in you. He says, verse number 5, for they that live according to the flesh, in other words, they're following the dictates of their flesh, all its passions and desires, it's because they set their minds, their thought life, on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. It's where you set your thoughts on. Because your thought life is what determines what gets in your heart. For to be carnally minded, now the word carnal, you know what that means, flesh. To be fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life. How many know the Bible says he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Amen? Because the carnal mind, the mind set on the flesh, is an enemy, and it says enmity, but it means enemy, against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You ever wonder why people that live in, especially those who live in gross sin, hate Christianity? Because their minds are in enmity against God. They don't want to give up their sin. Amen. They don't want to give it up. Because their minds are set on those things. Sometimes to the point. Now what we're seeing in our day is reprobate minds. A reprobate mind is one that's crossed the line now, where what used to be good is now evil, and what used to be evil is now good to them. Killing babies used to be bad, but now it's okay to them. No, you end a life, it's murder, I don't care. Come on, amen? If you end a life, amen, that's what's happened in our society. And it's going to get darker yet. Because one of the curses upon people that forsake God is insanity. Where they just don't think normal anymore. And we're seeing that in our day. And the challenge for you is to stay pure in the midst of a corrupt world. To keep your thought life pure. You cannot keep your heart pure if you don't keep your thought life pure. Amen. And I noticed that my appetites for things of the world just really got hardly almost nothing. As I love God and serve Him. My desire, you know, I don't, you know, my grandkids will say, "Papa, go with us to the movie." You know, it's a kid's movie. No, thank you. Grammy will go with you. I just don't have a desire for those things. Not this, maybe nothing wrong with it, but it's like, I don't want to set my mind. I don't desire it anymore. Turn the TV on, watch a little bit of news, and that makes you sick after a while almost. Huh? They just regurgitate stuff over and over again. But here's the challenge for us in this day, is to keep in our thought life on God. Amen. If you want to walk with God, you've got to realize how important your thoughts are. Amen. Because the more you keep your thoughts on God, this is what David said, the man that meditates on the word day and night, he's like a tree that's planted by a river of water. His roots go down. A source of life. Amen. And he says, whatever he does will prosper. Amen. Because the blessing of the Lord is upon him. Amen.